A Craving for Gold by John Naismith, with Martin Jarvis as Eddie Manson.
I was just a little kid the night the Southwark Bridge gang raided a post office convoy. The convoy was en route to King's Cross and the Glasgow Express. 1.5 million in old banknotes were stolen. That was way back in 1964. It was a copycat raid of the great train robbery, which took place some 11 months earlier. Of course, the train robbery became part of criminal history. The second raid was given an official blanket of silence on the orders of the Home Secretary, who feared an upsurge of major crimes in similar vein if the true details of the Southwark Bridge robbery ever became public. The story did hit the tabloids. Diluted reports. Officially, one post office van was attacked and just £50,000 taken. However, the truth of the events which occurred on that rain-soaked night have haunted me and affected every turn of my life, from England to Australia and back again. I suppose the screw started to tighten on me personally back in Aussie during the autumn of '88 on the streets of Melbourne. In there.
Right, you stay there. Yeah, give me that.
Billy Fisher, this is Detective Sergeant Eddie Manson. Turn that shooter around and walk right over this way with your hands on your head. Did you hear me, Fisher? Walk over here and...
Why don't you come and get me, you dirty cunt?
Okay, Eddie. I'm in the back of the store.
Can you see anything?
Not yet. Yep, I can see him.
Okay, Robbo, get him.
Tubes of lager, and some of these bucks think they're the reincarnation of Ned Kelly, eh, Eddie?
Yeah, I might have ended up a hard case myself.
Eh?
Yeah, if my ma hadn't brought me to Aussie when I was a kid.
Don't follow your sport.
If I've been reared in London. Criminal influence. Like I told you last week, my old fellow was a crook.
One of the Southwark Bridge mob, a crook? Come on, mate. Super crook. Those boys were in the same league as the great train robbers. It was even talk your old man was connected with them.
Ah, folklore, Robbo. Paper talk. No, but after my old fellow disappeared from the earth's crust, the crime hacks wallowed in an ocean of scarlet prose speculating about his whereabouts. Some of them reckoned he was cemented in the Hammersmith flyover. Others thought he was living as a millionaire in Bolivia. No, all news rag supposition. Nobody knows the truth. Or if they do, they've certainly kept stum for more than a quarter of a century.
Tell you what, mate. Bet Jerry Manson would spin in his grave if he knew his only son had grown up to become a cop.
Fisher for you, Sergeant Riley. Lock him up tight. He plays with guns.
I'll get you, Manson. I'll get you.
Rip your lips up, sport.
Move!
Police.
Right, I'm going to get cleaned up, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah? Yeah? Oh. Yeah.
La-da-da-da-da-da. La-da-da-da-da-da. Eddie?
Yep?
There's been an accident, Eddie.
Oh, yeah?
A fire. Your house.
Yeah, who is it?
Robo!
Yeah, what do you want?
Talk!
Oh. Leave me alone, Robo. Will you leave me alone?
Open this door in here or I'll bust it! Man, you look like dead.
Yeah, well... Death and me are old friends. Yeah, have a swig.
You've been on the sauce for 8 months, pal. It's time to stop. To forget.
Yeah? Well, what do you know about forgetting? Eh? You've never had kids. Or wife. Or...
You've got life, Eddie. Don't waste it. Don't mourn the dead. Live life for them.
Yeah, what's the point? What's the point? Everything I loved is dead.
But you're not yet. I suggest you get up. Get up before I throw you out. What?
You couldn't handle it.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that.
Face it, Eddie. Yeah. You're so drunk you can hardly stand up.
You bastard! What am I gonna do?
Get away from Eddie, mate. Get away from the memories. A long way, pal. England. Back to your roots. Start again.
I got down to some hard thinking after that night. I knew that I would sink deeper and deeper into self-pity and despair if I carried on hitting the sauce and tearing my brain out in that dirty, lonely room. I took Robbo's advice. I resigned the Melbourne force and said goodbye to Aussie. I locked the pain away and got aboard a plane at Melbourne International. And I headed for London. London was the loneliest place I'd ever known. A city of contrasts, mega rich and ultra poor, with little time for individuals who'd lost their way. I was drinking again. Not uncontrollably, but I was drinking. I drifted bar by bar, day by day, towards the East End. I went into business, inquiry agency, tracing runaway wives and absconding accountants. Well, he put banknotes into my wallet, gave me somewhere to live and something to occupy me by day. By night, I found a kind of solace, hunched up against the bar of various backstreet boozers.
What's your answer?
Hi.
Can I join you? You've been in every night this week.
Thanks for noticing.
Couldn't help it. I thought, girl, I thought, a fella as dishy as Big Blondie cannot be unattached. But seems I was wrong. Night after night, in you come and here you sit. Scotch on the rocks.
Is that right?
Would have chatted before, but...
But you're not that sort of girl.
Something like that. Here, I've seen you before, haven't I? Apart from in here.
Have you?
Sure. Positive.
Oh.
You look ever so lonely.
Yeah, I am lonely. Do you want a drink?
Thanks. Large G&T, please.
Ronnie, large G&T, double scotch over ice.
Sir?
You're a Yank, are you, lover?
Oh, don't insult me, lady.
Something about the voice.
Aussie.
Ah, I should have known by the shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
Long way from home.
Well, not that far. I was born in London. Well, what's your name?
Diana.
Oh, the Huntress or the Princess?
The ex-barmaid. Diana Martell. What's yours, Oz?
Eddie Manson.
Manson, of course. I knew I'd seen you around. Manson Investigations. You're the bloke with the office above the Chinese.
Third floor, two rooms and a sink.
Eddie Manson.
That's me.
Detective?
Well, sort of.
A private eye?
What, more inquiry agent.
How marvellous.
For no glamour. Soft hat and a raincoat, but no Smith and Wesson 45s.
Your drinks.
Thanks, Ronnie. Yeah, here. Yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah. Well, come on, drink up.
Yeah, hold on, Muscles. You trying to get me sloshed?
Yep.
What you after?
Would you believe a blonde PA?
Sounds interesting.
Can you type? Answer the phone, make beds, fry eggs.
I have a wide experience of chauvinists.
Oh, come up and look through my filing cabinet sometime.
Oh, two fingers. After only a month in the job.
And duck and spell necessary.
1K or two.
Rat. Still, you must like my performance.
Stupendous. You're a wizard with those fingers.
There's a parcel for you.
Oh, is it ticking?
What the hell's that?
A Krugerrand.
A what?
A South African gold coin. Dated 1964.
Is it worth anything?
Well, currently about 250 quid, maybe more.
Who'd want to send you that?
Santa Claus. It says, if you want the rest of these and the name of your father's killer, be in the foyer of the Cypress Island Hotel, Camden Town, 10:30 a.m, November 13.
Your father, Eddie?
Jerry Manson. 60s villain. He disappeared after the Southwark gang raided a money convoy. Nobody's ever found out what happened to me, old man. But wherever he disappeared to, 200 grand in old banknotes vanished with him.
That was a hell of a lot of money in the 60s.
Well, it's not exactly canary seed now.
An Australian on the Southwark gold robbery?
My old fellow was English. Cockney.
Mm.
I told you I was born in London. My mother took me to Oz soon after he disappeared. She died 2 years ago. I grew up in Melbourne. Married. Then... Well, you know the rest.
Yeah.
Hello, lady.
Oh.
What's up? Am I that ugly?
No. No, sir. I just didn't realise you was there. Can I help you?
You can't, no.
Look, sir, I'm very busy.
You didn't sound it. I want Manson.
Sorry, sir. Mr. Manson will not be back until this evening.
Oh?
Perhaps you'd like to make an appointment, sir.
No.
In that case, good day.
Where's he gone?
I'm afraid I can't tell you that.
Why?
That is Mr. Manson's business.
Prickly little bit of skirt, ain't you?
I am not a bit of skirt, thank you very much.
Tell Manson I'm somebody who knew his father. The name's Crawford. Bix Crawford.
The hotel was one of those boarding houses that proliferate around the back streets of Camden Town. There was a torn, flapping, striped awning over the entrance, and a couple of cat-watered conifers in plastic Georgian urns on either side of the glass front doors. You could smell the moussaka and the boiled cabbage 50 yards away.
You Eddie Manson?
Yeah.
I'm Jimmy Ailes. They call me Weasel. Knew your dad, poor old Jerry. Good thief, straight as a die.
Did you send me a note?
My governor did.
So what's all the mystery?
I'll give you the full SP when it's safe.
Who killed my father?
Shh.
Come on, Weasel, I know he's dead. Who killed him?
You know they found him then.
Eh?
The papers have kept stum. But all the chaps know, the news is out.
What do you want about?
Your old man. Been sleeping under a mountain of scrap in Watford. Bulldozer scooped him up. Or what was left of him. Bits of clothing and some gold rings. Ooh, a quarter of a century without a solution.
Makes sense, Weasel. They'll be calling you Gummy.
No, Gov, no violence. It's the truth. I'm only the errand boy with a message.
Then deliver it.
Shh. Stom. Ears everywhere. Let's go in the lobby. Me and your dad was right pals, he was. Years ago. Thought the world of me. Even helped a mosaic of patio down his gaff in Hastings.
Yeah, okay.
You may not believe it, but I was a master tiler, City and Guilds, passed in the scrubs. Still keep me hand in, even now. Good man your dad was. Greatest.
I didn't come here for your CV or a character reference for my old man.
Just small talk, Mr. Manson. A dying art. And like I said, ear holes. Everywhere.
Talk now. What's it all about?
I don't know, Gov.
What?
No, Gov, get it right. I've been sent to take you to a meet.
With?
Some lady.
What lady?
Don't know her name. Try it. I just got to take you to a boozer in Putney.
Right, let's go.
So what's this boozer called?
It's called the Balloon.
Look out!
The Mercedes screeched away round the corner. A parting burst sprayed the street before it disappeared. I'd dived into a basement filled with garbage cans, had a few bruises. Weasel was spread out on the pavement. He had a few holes. I got away from that scene quick. Well, no sense waiting for the cops. I couldn't tell them much anyway. I took a cab to Putney. The Balloon was a little Victorian pub ablaze with flowers close to the river on the Putney Bridge Road.
Yes, sir.
Large scotch over ice, please. Oh, and
what do you know about Jimmy Hales?
Pardon, sir?
The Weasel.
I'll take over here, Lil.
Yes, Mr. O'Neill.
Scotch on the rocks, was it?
That's right.
Come out back. It's cosier. And the scotch comes free.
You were asking about Jimmy Hales. What about him? Last time I saw him, he was lying in the gutter stuffed with lead.
Oh? Who'd want to kill a nonce like Weasel Hales?
Somebody with a silver Merc and a machine pistol. And a good aim.
Unless they were gunning for you.
Yeah, a bad aim.
There you go.
But why me?
A lot of bad boys know you're back in town, Eddie. Maybe they think you're after the 200 grand your old man was reputed to have stashed away. Maybe they got an idea where it's at, and maybe they don't want to share.
Are you one of the bad boys?
I'm not a good boy. Yeah, but would I be putting myself on offer if I was out to stick it on you? The name's O'Neill. Billy O'Neill.
Okay, O'Neill. How do you know me?
Everybody who's interested in that cutchel of gold your father had knows you, Eddie. You've been taped ever since you stepped off that plane at Heathrow.
Yeah, but I don't know anything about the gold.
Perhaps. And then again...
Did you send me that Kruger round?
No.
Who did?
An old friend of mine. A lady of sorts. Tracy Dowling.
Excuse me, Butte.
Yes, sir?
Could you give me another pint, please?
Sure. Lager, won't it?
Yeah. Get many Antipodeans hereabouts?
I beg your pardon?
Blokes from down under. Aussies, like me.
A few? Well, get all sorts, don't we? 125, please.
And yourself?
I'm English.
I'm asking, what are you drinking?
Oh, well, tomato juice would be lovely. Even had an Eskimo in here last Tuesday. Nice chap. Yeah, all sorts. Cheers.
Cheers. I'm thinking of one particular Aussie. Big blonde fella. Manson. Eddie Manson.
Oh, yeah, I remember him. A lovely hunk.
Tell me about him.
Lou, the lady's a barmaid, friend, not the Information Bureau.
We were only talking, Mr. O'Neill.
There are customers waiting to be served, Lou, if you don't mind.
Yes, Mr. O'Neill.
What's your interest in Manson, mister?
Personal.
How personal?
Look, mate, I find your attitude just a little bit on the offensive side.
Do you now? Then I suggest you finish that beer and be on your way.
Lil.
Oh, it's you. Give me quite a turn.
Sorry. Will you talk to me about Manson?
Are you a friend of his?
From way back. We were cops together in Melbourne.
I see.
Why was your governor so touchy when I tried to talk to you?
I don't know.
Was it because of you?
Me?
Did Eddie Manson make a play for you and the landlord didn't like it?
Are you suggesting something's going on between me and Mr. O'Neill?
Barmaids and landlords, it's an old, old story.
How dare you?
Sorry, I didn't mean to be crude, but I do want to get hold of Eddie Manson. I've traced him this far, but I've lost the trail. He's a true friend and I think he might be in trouble. I've got to find him. Can't you give me any idea where he might be now?
No, not really. Well...
Come on, sweetheart, tell me.
I did overhear some talk between Eddie Manson and Mr. O'Neill about a lady called Tracy Dowling.
Tracy Dowling lived in an apartment in a 1930s block, South Wentworth Court. It was set in the leafiest part of Wimbledon. Obviously the sort of place where a mortgage would be considered vulgar. The quality of the tenants mattered not. Cash was king. That's the way of the world. The place reeked with quality. The hall carpet must have cost more than a third world country's annual budget. The front door of number 25 was solid, polished oak.
Mr. Manson?
Yeah, that's right.
Do come in.
She bore a remarkable resemblance to Marilyn Monroe. Or at least the way Marilyn would have looked if she'd reached the age of 60. Her makeup was skillfully thick, her lips pouting and glossy red, her eyelids heavy with blue cosmetic. The platinum hair was obviously a wig. She was like a ragged-edged white dahlia in the last throes of autumn.
Sit down, Mr. Manson, do. Drinkies?
Scotch with ice, please, Miss, Ms. Dowling.
Oh, Tracy Dovey, please. All my man friends call me Tracy. Right from the start.
She swayed about that lush apartment like a demented cobra. Every move she made was a kind of little dance sequence. She made a performance of sitting down on a silk-covered Chesterfield and flashed her eyes at me over the rim of her champagne glass. I knew I was in the presence of a lunatic lady. Every time she smiled, I felt uneasy. And she smiled a lot.
May I call you Eddie, darling?
Yeah, why not? Ah, Tom. Familiarity makes the world tick over.
Yes. Doesn't it just? And you're such a big, handsome man. Oh, it's almost as if your father is sitting opposite me again.
Well, judging by the photographs I've seen, I don't look anything like my father. He was dark and stocky, Jerry Manson.
And you're so tall and blonde. But, Dolly, I'm not talking about Jerry Manson. I said your father.
Talk straight, lady.
I am talking straight, Eddie. Jerry Manson wasn't your real dadda.
What the hell are you saying?
Well, don't get angry, baby. I am telling you the truth. Your father's name was Michael Baxter. He had a car showroom in the 60s, and they called him Monza.
Monza Baxter, that thug. I've read about him.
He was your real father, Eddie. Really?
Good, are you telling me that Monza...
I knew your mother well, darling. We once worked together in a restaurant in Hastings. She was a waitress. The receptionist. Of course, I was resting at the time. I couldn't quite see myself as Lawrence Arthur's as Juliet. Monza Baxter used to come in regular. Some shady business or other with the proprietor. An Italian from Dantan, Milan, Raff Grisano. Well, Monza went for me at first. At least he had some taste. Then realising that I was just that weeny bit too good for him, he made a pass at your dear mother, bless her.
Very complimentary.
Oh, don't be upset, darling. Men always go straight for me. Always have, always will. Not that I entertain them. Or not all of them. That's the trouble with being beautiful, you see. It's such a burden.
Yeah, just tell me about my mother.
Well, he got your mother pregnant with you, didn't he, lovey?
Yeah, so you're telling me.
Cross my heart, darling. Man, you bastard though he was. I'll give Monza his due. He bought a flat in Hastings, moved your mother in and put up the marriage bans.
So why didn't they marry?
He was shot dead by the Spanish police just a week later.
Yeah.
Let me fill your glass.
Yeah, right to the top, I need it.
Cheers, darling.
Yeah.
Oh, Jerry Manson came along soon after your father's death. He wanted me. But he didn't have enough quality about him. He had plenty of money, but all the money in the world couldn't purchase my heart.
Is that right?
Jerry Manson married your mother in May 1958.
I was about 15 months old then.
Oh, how sweet. I must confess though, darling, Jerry Manson kept popping his cork at me. He just wouldn't leave me be. Eventually, I surrendered.
Yeah, so much for the money not buying your heart.
Oh, sweet baby, good Lord, it wasn't money, no. Nothing so tawdry. It was a white Daimler Jag in a golden diamond bracelet. Well, I just melted at his offerings. And we became lovers.
My mother's best friend, eh?
Oh, we was never best friends, darling, just acquaintances. We were from different classes of society.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And one could never pretend to be friends with a girl from the lower classes. It would be so patronising, don't you think?
When did you last see Jerry Manson?
New Year's Eve, 1964.
The night he disappeared?
Yes. They gave me a present, which I treasured ever since.
This Kruger Rand, right?
Yes.
Why did you send it to me?
Well, because you're a private investigator, baby.
Yeah, but mainly because you thought I might know where my father's loot was hidden.
Well, no, not exactly.
And you thought I'd return from Oz to pick it up?
Well, possibly. Well, not altogether, really.
Don't talk riddles, lady. You're beginning to bug me.
Darling, oh, don't get tough, please. We've been getting along so well.
Yeah, okay. But look, why didn't you come straight to me? Why go to all that palaver with the weasel? Why get me running over to O'Neill at the balloon?
Well, I didn't want to make direct contact.
Why?
Because there are others interested in Jerry Manson's loot.
Yeah, who?
Well, there's the Italian I told you about. Grisano. And there's a rogue cop called Bix Crawford. Some say he was involved in the Southwark Bridge job.
Yeah, any others?
Well, there could be, I just don't know. That's that's why I used the weasel and Billy O'Neill as go-betweens. To confuse peering eyes.
Yeah, why trust that pair?
Well, they're villains of the old school. They know how to keep their mouths shut.
Well, somebody must have talked. The weasel was blasted to death.
Well, he won't be mourned.
You know, for a high-life lady, you certainly know some low-life riff-raff.
Yeah, I enjoy a bit of raff now and then.
Only now and then.
Oh, Mr. Manson, I assumed you were a gentleman.
I'm an adopted Aussie, Miss Dowling.
Would you like me to tell you more about the last night I saw Jerry Manson, darling?
Why?
Because if I am to retain you to find the loot your stepfather tucked away, it might be of some use if you knew exactly what that loot was.
Use banknotes?
No, Eddie Marlowe. Gold coins.
Krugerrands?
Yes. Jerry's cut from the Southwark raid was £200,000.
You know a lot.
Men have a habit of confiding in me. Dear Jerry, he was no exception. He spent £150,000 of that on mint 1964 Karuga Wren.
Well, that's a whole lot of money at today's prices.
It's millions, darling. I want you to find it.
Yeah, why should I bother?
Well, I'll finance the search. £1,000 up front and £500 a week until you discover where the gold is hidden.
Hmm. And we split down the middle when it's found?
Fair enough.
Right. You've got yourself a deal, lady.
Hey! Oh, now what's the hurry, handsome? What? The afternoon is young and your glass is empty.
Ah, sorry, lady. I must rush.
Why?
Well, I'm parked on a Pelican Crossing. I managed to get away from Tracy Dowling's flat, Virgo Intacto, or thereabouts. I knew that what I was walking into was no Ronald McDonald's Kiddywinks party. There were a lot of nasty people after that fortune in gold, which Jerry Manson had stashed away. The weasel was blown away in my company, and I got to thinking that maybe those bullets were meant for me. Yeah, maybe both of us. Someone had also killed Jerry Manson all those years back, and I was deeply interested in finding out who the killer was, because as far as I was concerned, Manson was my old dad. Getting on the gold trail with my wages being paid by the strange Lady Dowling seemed a good start for my quest. It was a certainty that Jerry Manson was killed because of the gold. And even a quarter of a century later, I figured that the killer or killers wouldn't hesitate to produce a few more corpses in their lust for the yellow stuff, including mine. London was suddenly a very dangerous city to be in. I reckon the best way to look for the gold was to find out more about the man who I'd thought was my natural father, Jerry Manson. I went back to Billy O'Neill's pub in Putney.
So you survived your meet with the spider woman, Eddie?
You might have told me she was half nuts.
She just collects men. Anyway, how can I help you?
Did you know Jerry Manson well?
I knew him.
Hmm. Where did he hang out in the old days?
All over. Mainly the East End. He was on very friendly terms with the Crays. Used to use the pubs and clubs around Shoreditch.
Any special ones?
Well, it's a long time ago, son. A lot of the old places are gone. Things change. People change. Mind you, there was one gaff he used pretty regular.
Where was that?
Off Lemon Street. The Courtney Sports and Snooker Club.
Is it still there?
Very much so. I played in a landlord snooker tournament there a month or so back. Same guy runs it who operated in Jerry's day. An old heavyweight. An ex-fighter from Acne called Nosher Ballantyne.
Oh. You there, sweetheart?
Yeah, just filling the kettle. Here, there's a couple of tea bags in the out tray. Chuck them in a cup, there's a good boy.
You're a slave driver, you know that.
Greetings, my lord.
Hi, Di.
Poor.
I'm bushwhack. Feel as if I walked down every street in London.
You look it, dear. Oh, God, we can't have a cuppa.
Why?
We've run out of milk.
Oh, well, not to worry. I'm loaded. Come on, I'll take you out somewhere.
Ooh, the Ritz.
No, Ernie's calf. Any other rich nuts been in looking for my services?
There was an old lady wanted you to find her lost poodle.
Oh, very mysterious.
Yeah, but she suddenly remembered she'd left it tied up outside a betting shop.
Right. Get your glad rags on, we'll mosey on downtown.
Oh, this is all so sudden, yeah. It's making the blood rush to my head. Oh, there was one visitor earlier on.
Yeah? Well, a client?
I wouldn't like him to be. A right rat-faced creep with the manners of a jackass.
Well, what did he want?
Said he knew your father.
Oh, did he? And?
That's all. Didn't want to communicate with me any further.
Name?
Bix Crawford.
Maxie MacDonald needs pink to win. Lovely shot. Maxie wins.
Nosher Ballantyne.
Who wants to know?
The name's Manson. Eddie Manson.
I know the name, not the face. You the filth?
No. I just wanted to ask you about my father.
Jerry, Manson.
Oh, yeah. Over here a minute. Manson's been gone a long time. How can I tell you anything about him?
Well, maybe your new friends of his, people that might still be around.
So have I got to say it, son. Jerry Manson didn't have a lot of friends that I can remember. Even fewer after he dropped the rest of the Southwark Bridge mob into Treacle.
What are you talking about?
I was part of that mob, sonny. After we hit the money convoy at Southwark Bridge, we split for a cottage in Essex. We was there for maybe 5 days, while the filth searched high and low for us, and the papers screamed and speculated. We decided the heat was getting close to us, so we left the cottage and went our own ways. Jerry Manson got 200 G's as his share. He was the only one paid. The rest of us was going to get paid later. Yeah. Your old man was supposed to burn that cottage to a cinder before he had it on his toes. Mm. His job was to destroy all the evidence. But he didn't, did he? He just grabbed the money and ran. When the filth found the cottage, he had enough evidence to put me and a lot of the boys away for a long time.
So, that's why Jerry Manson was murdered.
Don't ask me questions I can't answer, boy. All I know is I never got a penny piece out of that raid. I've done 15 years for nothing. Still, I was part of that team. I took me chances, I done me porridge, I kept stum. I still keep stum. And that's it. I can't tell you no more about Jerry Manson, except I'm glad they found him dead. Saved me and a few of the others the job of wasting him.
Yeah? Hey, Maxie, you want to play me for a ton? Number four table.
Mr. Manson?
That's me.
I don't want to interfere, Mr. Manson, but it's just... Well, I overheard you talking to Nosher Ballantyne.
So?
I knew Jerry Manson well.
Who are you?
Stumpy Miller.
What do you know about Jerry Manson?
Quite a lot.
How?
Well, as it happens, I done Jerry a big favour once. He gave me 5 of these in return.
Krugerrands?
Yeah. All mint 1964. I've always held on to this one. It's me sort of last refuge. Been times when I nearly cashed it, but...
What favour?
I hid him when he was on the trot.
After the Southwark Bridge job?
Yeah.
Where?
Down the skipper I was living.
Jerry Manson in a doss house? That's a hard one to swallow, sport.
Straight up. Me and him was on the Toby for a month together. There was old Bill looking for a 22-carat gangster, all smart suit and gold rings. And there's Jerry standing beside me like a broken-down scarecrow as I played the squeeze box up and down Oxford Street.
You must know who killed him.
No. No, I swear I don't. See, Jerry reckoned the heat was off. He got fed up playing the down and out, said he was going to see a geezer over Watford. Now, this geezer had sorted a way out to Rio. Plastic surgery, passage across. It was going to cost Jerry 10 grand. But he'd be free.
Free to die?
Eh?
Well, somebody killed him, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who was the fellow he went to see over Watford?
I don't know.
Well, could you find out?
It happened a long time ago, but I'll try. Put the whisper out.
Well, where do I contact you?
I work the underground at Charing Cross. I'm there every morning.
I wasn't sure what to make of Stumpy Miller. Maybe Jerry Manson had given him that mint Krugerrand. But for a down-and-out to hold on to an ounce of gold for 26 years without cashing it in, well, that was strange. As for Nosher Ballantyne, there was a man chewing wormwood. I had a feeling he knew more about Jerry Manson's death than he'd reveal. After I left the Courtney Sports and Snooker Club, I travelled a few bars around the markets area. I'd had a skinful by the time I got to Marlin Road, but not such a skinful that I wasn't aware that a guy had been tailing me for the past half hour. I saw him first in the Eagle and Stars. He was a skinny fellow with cropped black hair and a mean face. He didn't know I had him taped. I left the pub and butted my head against the rain. I turned abruptly into a side street. I could hear his footsteps clattering along the Mile End, running, afraid he might lose me. I stood back in a doorway.
I was ready to grab him when he turned the corner. Then...
Excuse me, sir.
Oh. Yes, officer?
What are you doing?
Minding my own business.
My colleague and myself have been observing you for the past 5 minutes. In and out of shop doorways.
Why, it's the first doorway I've ducked into.
A jeweller's shop.
Oh, is it? So?
What's your intention?
Intention? Now, wait a minute.
Answer my question, sir.
I'm sheltering out of the rain.
Oh, yeah?
Well, is that a crime?
Could I ask your name, sir?
Eddie Manson.
Where do you live?
374C Mile End Road.
Any identification, sir?
Driving licence.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Anything else?
There's my wallet. Hmm. Help yourself.
I could construe that as an attempt at bribery, sir.
I construe it as a fit-up. Now, you've seen my papers. Do you want to take me down the precinct and lay a bent charge? Or do you let me walk?
You can go, Mr. Manson. Sorry to have troubled you. Good night, sir.
Hello, Nosha.
What do you want, Crawford? I thought you was dead. What a disappointment.
Want a drink, Nosh?
Not from you, I don't.
Orangeade, please, barman.
Still living dangerously. You gutless bastard.
I see we've got a mutual friend.
A friend of yours, no friend of mine. Copper.
I'm not a copper, am I, Nosh, mate? I'm not on the force anymore.
You'll always be a copper, Crawford. Of the worst possible kind. There's coppers I've hated and coppers I've respected. But you... I've got no feelings about you. I've got contempt. Yeah, same sort of contempt I've got for a slug. A tread-on sort of contempt.
Your drink.
I could be of help to you, Nosha.
Oh, yeah. The only person you've ever helped is Bix Crawford. When they slung you off to Met, you tried to drag a dozen of your own copper pals with you. You fitted more innocent people up in your time than the quick-fit fitters. And they done plenty. You're rubbish, Crawford. I wouldn't even bother to spit on your grave.
I saw you chatting with Jerry Manson's boy. I'm right, ain't I, Nosha? Eddie Manson is his son.
You've been following me, you little...
No, Nosha, straight! I've been following him, my life.
What for?
Gold.
What gold?
The stuff Jerry Manson tucked away.
Jerry never buried no gold. That was Long John Silver. It's all cobblers, all them stories about the hidden millions. Like Otto Scorzini was supposed to be the brains behind a train robbery. Paper talk. Middle-class hacks playing cops and robbers. Jerry Manson was blown away, and the money he shot off with was claimed by the guy who done him. That's what it was all about.
You're wrong, Nosha. I know you're wrong.
Don't you tell me when I'm right or wrong, you slimy little rabbit. Now get out of here. The smell of you's beginning to get right up my nose, so...
Sorry, Nosha.
Get!
Yes, Nosha. Right.
Miss Tracy Darling?
Yes?
May I join you?
It looks as though you already have, Big Billy.
The descriptions were perfect.
Darling?
They said that you were Marilyn Monroe personified.
Oh, how intriguing. And who are they?
Everybody I asked.
Really?
When I saw you through the glass door sipping coffee in this most elegant of restaurants, well, I knew that you were the lady I wanted.
I may be blonde, handsome, but I don't want to appear dumb. What exactly are you after?
You.
I must confess, I adore forthright men.
So, start adoring me, Norma Jean.
It's a bit crowded for mutual worship here, handsome. I have a rather splendid apartment not a block from here. Perhaps you would like to join me for afternoon cocktails and further pillow talk. Ah, what a pity Australia's so far away.
Why's that, sweetheart?
Oh, I'll go shopping every day if all the boys looked and loved like you, big boy. Imagine having my very own Aussie cricket team hanging in the wardrobe.
What do you know about the Southwark Bridge gold, Norma Jean?
Pardonnez-moi?
The gold Eddie Manson came to see you about.
Manson?
Now, come on, Norma Jean. I've been as forthright as I know how. We've made love 3 times, so we're quite old friends. Confide in me.
Oh, you're such a naughty boy, Robber. But there. I never did like good boys. Do I? Could I make you happy, darling?
Ecstatically.
I'm very loving, very faithful. And I don't usually jump straight into bed with men who pick me up in Italian restaurants.
Just shows what a few cocktails can do.
I love you, sweetie. You remind me of a Spanish waiter I met in Madrid on my 23rd birthday. Long time ago. I'm 37 now. Isn't that a tragedy?
You're down like a day over 36.
Oh, Robbo, you old-fashioned fool. I'd marry you if you asked me nicely and keep you in a manner to which you have never been accustomed.
The gold. Tell me what you know about it.
Well, not much more than you, darling. That's why I've employed Eddie Manson to find it for me.
Manson's working for you?
Yes. Well, don't look so worried, honey. I never go to bed with my employees. Mandy tried hard to coax me. They all do. But I'm a one-man-at-a-time woman, dedicated to love. Kiss me again, sweetheart.
Norma Jean, much as I'd love to, would you take a rain check on it? I've got a headache.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yeah?
Tracy Dowling's outside.
What's that old scarecrow want?
Just a fond little chat, Billy Baby.
Okay, little blow. Close the door after you.
You're as good looking as ever, Billy.
I'll get struck by lightning if I said the same about you.
Eaten up with jealousy, aren't you, dear? Oh, Sage, how can I help it if males idolise me?
You're cuckoo, missus. Your brain's gone.
I still love you, baby. I understand. You're not well, are you?
What?
Let's get married again.
Get away from me. Don't know what I might catch. It's better. Has Manson found the gold?
No. And I don't care if he does or not.
I do. I want my share.
Well, supposing he did find it and I didn't cut you in.
You?
Supposing I told you I met someone else, someone I like better than you. Supposing I told you he'd begged me to marry him.
Manson? Leave off?
No, not Manson, somebody else. And supposing I decided that he should have your share of the gold, what then, Billy Baby?
I'd be most upset.
Oh, early bird, that.
It's 11:30 a.m, dearest. Work is piling up.
So, we got a thriving biz.
Would have, if you'd stopped spending the profits on booze.
I mustn't talk to your superiors in that way.
Huh. There was a lady looking for you.
Oh, sounds interesting.
An old, old lady with skin like a gooseberry, a voice like a well-bred peanut and a platinum blonde wig. Mutton dressed as mutton.
An apt description of the delightful Miss Tracy Dowling.
She left a cheque. For services rendered?
No services rendered yet, sweetheart.
I should sincerely hope not. The lady's positively geriatric.
Don't knock the clients. They pay for your champagne lunches.
Fish pay sandwiches and cold tea, you mean. Hello, Manson Investigations. It's for you, Eddie.
Hello, Eddie Manson.
Manson. The name's Grazano. Rafe Grazano. Keep your face out of my business, Manson. Gold business. Or you want to have a face. Thank you.
Dynamite. Yes?
It's me, Miss Darling.
Who is me?
Bix Crawford.
I am practising my entrechat, Crawford. Can't you come back?
It's urgent, Miss Darling.
Oh, very well.
You look gorgeous, Miss Dowling.
When I was a little younger, I had a better figure than Margot Fontaine. I still have, of course.
Yes.
Do leotards do something to you or for you, Crawford?
Pardon, ma'am?
You are sweating on the upper lip.
You know how I feel about you, Miss Dowling.
Yes. It's not very healthy.
I'd marry you tomorrow, you know that.
What is it you want?
I've been keeping tabs on Eddie Manson, ma'am. He's onto the gold, I'm sure of that. He's just biding his time, then he'll lead us straight to it.
Having a fortune, eh, Stumpy?
Oh, watch out, Mr. Manson. Getting a few bulb.
What do you know about a face called Ruff Grazano?
Oh, a right villain. Mafia connections. Don't mess with him, Gov.
Did he know Jerry Manson?
Yeah.
They friends?
Were once.
So what happened?
They had a fight.
Fight? What about?
A woman.
Tracy Dowling?
Oh, that old brass, Lee Wolf. No, mate. It was over Jerry Manson's wife. Your mother.
You saying my mother played around with Grazano?
No, Gov, no. Grazano tried to force her when she worked in his restaurant down Hastings. Jerry sorted him out, gave him a kicking.
So what did Grazano do?
Nothing. Just threats. Glad you come anyway, Gov. Got a message for you. I've had a whisper that a blind lush who works the Hastings front is very anxious to blow down your ear. Lives in a skipper. His name's Specs McIver. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll get back to work.
Right.
That night, I went along to a car hire company and booked a Porsche. If I was going to the down-and-out twilight world in Hastings, I thought I might as well do it in style. I agreed to pick the motor up the following afternoon. I was walking back to my office by way of Stainer's Road when I realised that I was again being followed. This time I didn't hang about. I turned and ran straight at the guy. It was the same cropped ugly, the one I was after when the cops grabbed me. He tried to outsprint me, but I got hold of him and hauled him backwards into a doorway.
Why are you following me?
I'm not, honest. What's all this about?
Don't lie to me.
Don't hit me, please.
What are you up to?
I'm working for Tracy Dowling.
Liar.
Honest.
What's your name?
Bix Crawford.
Bix Crawford?
That's right.
You're the bloke who called up my office. Why?
I wanted to warn you. There are people who want you dead.
I don't believe you. Tracy Dowling mentioned your name. You're a cop, aren't you?
Ex-cop.
Rogue cop, she called you. Why?
I don't know, three stretch.
For what?
Perverting the course of justice.
Yeah, tell me about it.
It involved Jerry Manson.
Over the Southwark Bridge job?
No!
What then?
Gold Shield security robbery. I tried to fit him into it.
Oh, you nice bastard.
He was on it all right. He took part. I just didn't have the evidence.
Well, so you fabricated it. Why are you following me, dog nurse?
The Dowling woman's paying me. When you get to the gold, she wants it all. She's offered me 100 grand to jump you and grab it.
You couldn't jump a milk bottle.
Get your hands on your head.
Oh, what's this? Police 38? I suppose you're licensed, Crawford. Are you?
No.
Was it you who killed Jerry Manson?
Me?
Yeah. Maybe you had enough on your involvement in the Southwark Bridge job to bang you away for a long time.
No! My life! I had nothing to do with Manson's death.
And you weren't planning to get close enough to put a bullet in my back, were you?
No!
No? So why are you carrying a gun?
Protection. A man makes enemies.
Oh, yeah. A jackal like you must have more than most. This piece is going in the river.
I'll get another gun, Manson.
Oh, that sounds like a threat to me, Crawford. Yeah, I could smack you around a bit right now. Water your nose, mess you up. Huh? But this once, I'm going to say run. And don't ever come looking for me again. You keep off my back or I'll pop.
But, Ed,
Mr. Darling, I swear I did not put Crawford on your tail.
Well, why should he lie?
Well, apart from being a born liar, he might want to discredit me. I once spurned his sexual advances.
Oh, yes? So you admit knowing him?
I told you before I knew the little cockroach, but I wouldn't employ him, and I most utterly certainly wouldn't entertain him romantically. Oh, Eddie, darling, believe me.
Yeah, come on. How well do you know Bix Crawford?
Well, enough not to trust him.
Well, who else might he work for?
Anybody who'd pay him a dishonest dollar.
Yeah, give me a name.
Ralph Grisano.
That'll do.
Hey, what do you do here, mister? People's not allowed in the restaurant.
I'm looking for Ralph Grisano.
Mr. Grisano, he's not here.
Where is he?
Milano.
When's he coming back?
I don't know.
Well, when you see Grisano, tell him Eddie Manson called.
Eddie Manson?
That's right.
I tell him.
Yeah, also tell him I don't like bent coppers on my tail. Yeah. I don't scare easy. If Grisano wants trouble, I'll give it to him.
Let me advise you, Mr. Manson. You are no wise to threaten Signor Grisano, a very dangerous man.
Yeah, I can be a dangerous man, too. Where I come from, we eat rats for breakfast. Eh? And don't even begin to think of using that knife. You'll end up in a pot of your own ravioli. No doubt in my mind. My visit to Grisano's Kensington restaurant would start things buzzing. Grisano would come after me as soon as he got back from Milan. Wow, that suited me. I wanted all the bugs to come crawling out. Maybe one or other of them would lead me to the gold. And to my stepfather's killer. It took me just over an hour to get to Hastings, and another hour to find the Dosser's skipper. It was set back in a road that backed onto a cow field. Years ago, it used to be the majestic Kinema. Now, it was a broken-down, rotting hulk. Specs MacIver was there. I took him for a ride.
I tell you what, Mr. Manson.
Eddie.
Eddie. It's marvellous getting in touch with Jerry's boy.
Is that right?
You just don't know how marvellous.
What sort of a fellow was my... My stepfather, Specs.
No, it was all right.
Only all right?
Well, be fair, mate. He wasn't exactly a pillar of society, was he? He was bent, wasn't he? A villain, a gangster.
Nobody's all villain.
Yeah, well, you're right, really. Your old chap wasn't all bad. For starters, he really loved your mum. And he loved you as well, of course. You was his little diamond. Do you know what I mean? Well, what I'm trying to say is, well, anyone who's got love in them like Jerry Manson had, well, it made him at least human, didn't it?
Sure it did.
I'll tell you something, shall I? I reckon if Jerry Manson had met your mother right at the beginning of his youth, you know, when he was running around with a bunch of hounds, nicking Bluey off a church roofs and doing second story on posh Chelsea houses, and if he'd married her and had kids, like you, and maybe a couple more, eh? I think he'd have gone straight, settled down.
Oh, I don't know about that. My dad was big time. I think big time villains are born that way. Fate just puts a finger on them, and that's that. Environment, parentage, lack of opportunity. They're the ingredients.
Well, maybe you're right. A villain, well, he can't just walk away from everything he's ever done. There's too many other villains involved, too many cops with long memories, too many favours owed, too many wrong words spoke. But I reckon, if there's an afterlife, like the church people talk about, you could start all over again. Another chance, a clean start in another time and another place. I really believe Jerry Manson would rather drive a celestial taxi with you and your lovely mum waiting at home for him, caring for him, loving him, than even sniff at crime. I reckon he would, you know, Eddie. I reckon he would.
Yeah. I know what you're trying to say, Specs. Jerry Manson would have made a marvellous dad if he'd lived. Well, I'm grateful for you saying it. Gives me something to cling on to. Sounds silly, doesn't it? Grown man going on about love, feelings. What might have been?
No. No, it's not silly, Eddie. The ones who can't say it are the silly ones. The ones who don't admit to love and feelings. They're the losers.
Shall I tell you something? A couple of years ago, I lost my mother. And then last year, my wife and my two children died in a fire.
You poor bastard.
I was totally defeated in the Valley of the Shadow. I came to London to try and put the horror behind me. But, oh, well, London didn't offer me any comfort at all. Still, I stayed. I stuck with it. Met a lady. She became my friend.
Uh-huh.
Only friend I've made over here, really. And well, I've managed to butt along day by day, hanging on to memories of my family. But now I've met you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, Specs, that I don't know how to put this, but there's something about you. Well, you've done more to help me, the way I feel inside, than anyone else. I think you've helped me reach some kind of turning point, you know, to whatever life holds in the future. Anyway, thanks.
Yeah. Do you mind if I have a swig?
Go ahead, sports your liver.
Oh. I've been alky for 20-odd years, Eddie. Since this accident, got my face messed up, lost most of my sight. I couldn't face the world. I wanted to die. Hitting the source seemed the most painless way to do it. It's taken me a hell of a long time to die.
So, what news have you got for me?
Well, I was part of the Southwark Bridge job. The one your dad helped organise. Oh, I wasn't on the actual blag. I was back up, had a motorbike, Norton. When the boys dumped the post office van, me and a couple of others on bikes picked the boys up and, using all different routes, got them back to the gaff where they was going to hole up. That was a cottage on the coast about 10 miles this side of Brighton.
Who else was on the blag, apart from Jerry Manson?
Well, a couple of I-ties, Conti and Mancini. They was deported soon after they'd done their time. Then there was two South London villains, Ikey Barr and Don Rainsford.
They're both dead, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. Shot down by the filth in the Chancery Lane bank raid a couple of years back.
Who else?
Billy O'Neill. Keeps a pub in Putney called The Balloon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Bought it with his wife's dough.
Rich old widow, was she?
Rich old bag. Calls herself Tracy Dowling these days.
What?
Her real name's Renee Giddens. Well, Renee O'Neill now.
Well, that's Billy O'Neill's wife.
Yep. He was skint till he married her. Well, they're not together now, but she still worships the man. Mind you, she's a raving nutter, elderly baby doll.
I know. Right, give me the rest of it, Specs.
The shooting of the weasel, Eddie. The word is an eye-tie called Grisano sent a car.
Yeah, I made his acquaintance.
Well, it wasn't the weasel they wanted, boy, it was you.
I already sussed that. But why?
Stop you getting the gold.
Was that it?
Not all.
What else?
I know where the gold is, Eddie.
Now that is good news. Where?
I'll take you to it.
How come you knew my old man so well? How come he trusted you with the hiding place?
We were friends, me and Jerry. Very close friends. And that's why I got Stumpy to help keep Jerry out of the way of the filth.
Yeah, Stumpy told me. He became a dosser.
That's right. Anyway, one night, me and Jerry and the Weasel come down to the flat in Hastings, which Monza Baxter had bought for your mum in a bent name.
Was Monza Baxter my real father?
Who told you that?
Tracy Dowling.
Yeah. Yeah, Monza was your dad. But as I told you, Eddie, Jerry Manson loved you like he was his own son.
Yeah. Yep. Look, let's forget the sentiments. Get on with the news.
Okay. Anyway, the weasel didn't know. But me and Jerry had laid the Krugerrands out in a small patio area at the back of the flat. Then we laid a plastic sheet over the Krugs. And then Jerry, he put a cement skin across that lot. Then he got the weasel to do the floor in mosaic.
And that lot's been there for more than a quarter of a century.
Yep. I did try and get in touch with your mum after Jerry disappeared. I wanted her, and you, Eddie, to have the lot. But I lost the trail and all I knew was she'd gone abroad, emigrated, taking you with her.
Why the concern for my mum's welfare, Specs?
I told you. Me and Jerry Manson had a very special relationship. I owed him. I owed his family.
Okay, so why didn't you dig up the Krugs for yourself?
I didn't want them.
You're scratching dirt and there's a few million quid under your feet. Come on, Specs.
Well, I haven't got any craving for gold, son. I've learned to live a life that suits me. I survive. Anyway, if I had dug it up, the word would soon be out and I'd have had the world on me back.
It seems like the world's catching up.
Yeah.
Who did kill my stepfather?
I don't know, son. I just go along with what everyone else believed.
What's that?
That your old man was hunted down and killed by a hitman. Paid for by the firm that organised the Southwark Bridge Blag.
Hmm. And who is the chairman of the board?
Grazzano.
Morning, Mr. Grazzano.
Sit down, Crawford. I pay you plenty, don't I?
Sure.
Then how comes I twice tell you to put the blot on Manson, and twice you let him walk away, alive?
He must be lucky.
No wonder you get kicked off of the force. As a cop, you make a 22 character.
No, wait!
Shut up! If Manson gets to that gold before I do, you'll never live to make another mistake.
He won't get
it. I got a buzz. He's on a safari down Hastings. This is a number. Get down there, Crawford, and don't nose it up this time.
Through here, Eddie.
This flat's immaculate, Specs.
A cleaning firm keeps it that way.
Who pays?
A London solicitor. Rates, repairs, the lot. It's all out of a fund set up by Jerry Manson before he disappeared.
Almost as though he knew he was going to die.
Yeah. I reckon he got it sorted so as you and your mum would be okay. But like I said, she went away.
Hey. Look at this.
Huh?
Photos of my ma. And Jerry Manson. And look, that must be me as a kid.
Yeah.
Spooky.
Yeah. I'm kind of sad. This is the patio, Eddie.
Well, well. A weasel certainly knew how to lay a mosaic floor.
Hmm. Didn't know he was spreading it over a fortune, though. Did he, eh?
Time had stood still in that Hastings flat. And all through those long years, a fortune in South African gold coins had lain undisturbed. A fortune which so many greedy people had sought and were still seeking. Gold. Just the mention of it makes some men lust. And the sight of it makes some men kill. Oh, maybe Specs was right. Maybe that hoard should stay where it was. Specs went back to the skipper and we decided to have a meet the following day. Discuss what we should do about the Krugerrands my old man had salted away. Specs didn't want him. And suddenly, neither did I. I thought a few scotches in the quiet of my hotel room might ease my contemplations. Who is it?
Manager, sir.
Don't even smile, Manson.
In your company, Crawford.
I've been paid to kill you. Don't encourage me.
Oh, well. Why the delay? Or haven't you got the guts to pull the trigger?
I thought maybe we could do a deal.
I don't deal in rat poison.
Sit down, Manson. And keep your hands on your head or you might not live long enough to find out just how many guts I have got.
Oh, I've lived long enough now, sport. You haven't got any.
If I don't get you this time, Manson, Grazana will get me. I've got nothing to lose.
Shoot me then.
Where's the gold?
Gold?
Don't mess with me, Manson. Where is it?
Oh.
Where?
Vaults of the Bank of England.
Where? Tell me!
Whoever the guy was who fired that single shot which killed Bix Crawford, he was certainly no novice. The killer had fired from somewhere across the street, straight through my hotel window. It was Crawford he went for, not me. Crawford left this world without a chance to say goodbye. I heard a car roar away into the night. I got on the blower to the local police. A detective inspector from the Sussex CID arrived. A bony, hard-eyed cop with a drawl and no smile. Curtis.
How well did you know Crawford, Mr. Manson?
Casually.
Yet he calls to your hotel at midnight with a gun in his hand. Why?
What? Collect the rent?
Don't get funny with me, friend. What's it all about? What are you involved in? Drugs?
I resent that, Curtis. I'm not a crim. I'm a private investigator.
Oh, yeah. What's your business in Hastings?
Tracing a missing person.
The dead man? Crawford?
No.
Who?
Well, that's strictly confidential.
So there you are, having a quiet drink, and in walks this comparative stranger, Crawford.
He knocked first.
Sticks a gun in your ribs, makes you sit down, and threatens to shoot you.
Yep.
Why?
I've told you, I don't know.
He just said very politely, sit down, Mr. Manson, and put your hands on your head.
That is what he said.
And then a bullet shatters the window, and boom! Bix Crawford is dead.
You got it.
You're not a gangster, are you, Mr. Manson? Oh. Like your father, Jerry Manson?
You're pushing me and your luck too hard, Curtis.
You wouldn't be seeking a fortune in gold, rumored to be hidden somewhere in our quiet and pleasant seaside town, would you?
Look, there's the door, Curtis. Either arrest me for whatever you think might stick or close it quietly behind you.
There's a car park there, by the pier. Pull in, Maxie.
Okay, not sure.
Turn off the lights. We'll wait here and watch.
Excuse me.
Yes, missus?
You're the little chap they call Stumpy Miller, aren't you?
Who wants to know?
The lady does, you little gimp.
Oh, Mr. O'Neill, I didn't realise it was you.
Get in the back alongside me, Stumpy, or your new nickname will be Headless.
Yes, Mr. O'Neill. Right.
It's that old cinema, the place, Stumpy.
Yes, ma'am.
You ain't kidding us, are you, Squirt?
No, no, I swear it, Mr. O'Neill. That's where Specs MacIver hangs up.
Go and get MacIver and bring him back to us.
Yes, ma'am.
And don't do anything but bring him back, Stumpy. Otherwise, you'll get what a mug called Bix Crawford got. A bullet in the brain and a one-way ticket to whatever place you're heading for. Got me?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Detective Curtis was one mean machine, or he thought he was. He grilled me halfway through that night, but he left as hungry as he came. Well, I agreed to stay in Hastings for a while because I had unfinished business of my own to attend to. I couldn't sleep. It was 5 a.m. I decided to go for a drive along the coast road. I wrapped up in a storm coat and went out into the night. Someone had broken into the Porsche. Specs MacIver was hunched up in the back seat. He'd been severely beaten.
Eddie.
Okay, mate, okay.
That rat, Stumpy. He led me into their arms.
Who?
O'Neill. And that old bag woman.
Take it easy, mate.
O'Neill dumped me. punched, kicked. I couldn't take no more. I told him about the gold. They left me for dead.
Okay, old man. Easy now. Easy.
The gold, Eddie. O'Neill's gone after it. I've done what you asked, didn't I, Mr. O'Neill? I've got specs for you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Stumpy. I appreciate that.
So why don't you let me go?
Stop whining, little man.
I never saw you give specs a kick in, Mr. O'Neill. I did.
Don't tell Porky, Stumpy. You watch from a front row seat.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't grass on you. Not on you, Gov.
I don't think I could take that chance, mate. You understand, of course.
Please, Mr. O'Neill, please, I beg, believe me.
What about the gold?
Gold? I don't know what you're talking about, lady, I swear.
You're such a pitiful little bugger, Stumpy. So noisy. Don't you think it's about time you quietened him, Billy darling?
Oh, my God. Don't kill me, Mr. O'Neill. I won't say nothing. I swear I won't. Of
course you won't, mate. You won't breathe another word.
Don't you think we ought to check back on Spectre MacArthur, darling?
What for?
To make sure he don't say anything.
You ever heard a dead man talk?
Oh, you're so positive, Billy, darling.
Yeah, I know.
It'll be so wonderful. You and me together again, Billy. Making love the way we used to.
In our own cosy little pad overlooking the Med.
Oh, oh, yes. Just say you love me again, Billy. Please, darling.
I love you.
You mean it, don't you, sweetheart?
Of course I do. Now, turn left up the coast road. This motor's going over the cliff with Stumpy Miller inside it.
Mr. Manson?
That's right. How's Mr. MacArthur, Doc?
He's critically ill, I'm afraid.
Can I see him?
No, Mr. Manson. Maybe in a few days, if we're lucky.
I can hardly see a damn thing, Billy, darling.
This bottle'll do. Leave it in automatic drive and the old bus will fly over the top sweet as a bird. I'll get out and have a butcher's. Goodbye, you old vulture.
Billy! No, please! Billy!
Over you go!
You're late, O'Neill.
Took longer than I expected, Rafe.
Did you take care of Crawford?
Like a baby.
And Manson?
We'll get him later.
You'd better do a different job than you did on his old man.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means, O'Neill, that the guy you shot and buried under that scrap heap in Watford 25 years ago was not Jerry Manson. You stuck 6 slugs in a vagrant called Ernest Ruddock. Jerry Manson swapped identities with him, clothes, jewelry, papers.
What you having this pop at me for, Grisana? Want the money back?
You were set up by Jerry Manson to make a mistake. You killed a fall guy. Jerry Manson just walked away.
Where are you getting this information?
Straight from my friend at the yard.
Jerry Manson's still alive?
The odds are he is. And that explains why his son travelled over from Australia. Family reunion and a share out of gold. My gold.
Our gold.
How about that, Dosser?
Stumpy Miller led me straight to the face who knew exactly where Jerry Manson hid the gold.
What face?
Little blind runt called Specs MacIver.
He knew? And just let it stay where it was?
Yeah.
Did you get him to, divulge?
Just before I killed him.
Where is the gold, O'Neill?
Do you think I'll tell you, you spaghetti ball? Just stay right on that spot, Grisano, or you'll be dead a good minute before your time.
I see you fried.
Oh, darling.
Now, come on, Billy boy. I split it 60-40. Nobody else to be cut in, eh?
Bye-bye, Grisano.
Well, We've given him long enough now, Maxie. You wait here.
Okay.
I'm going in to get what's mine.
Hello, Billy.
No, sir.
That's right, pal. Yeah, Billy. Put a pickaxe down, nice and gentle. So, you're in a floor laying trade now then, eh, boy? Or should I say the floor digging up trade?
No, sir. Mate, come on now.
What you prospecting for? Gold?
Me and you go back a long way, Nush. You know me.
Sure I do. Still carry a 45, do you? Of course you do. But don't be silly, old friend. My gun is quicker than yours.
Guns, pickaxes, violence. We don't need talk of that, Nodger. We can split it. Must be well over $1 million in gold under these tiles. Half each of a fortune, Nosher.
Oh, thank you, Billy. I've done a long time in a big house for that gold. It's all mine.
I don't think so, Nosher.
Who the hell are you?
The name's Robbins. I've been watching you lot a long time. Throw the gun down, sport. Yeah. And yours, Billy. There's a good fella. Now, both of you, get digging. Fill my holdall with as many lovely Krugerrands as possible. And whistle while you work.
Eh?
Whistle, or you dig your own graves. Could you take me to Dover quickly, cabby? There's 50 quid in it.
Jump in, sunshine.
Say, Robbo.
Hmm?
Robbo, it is you.
Eddie. Eddie Manson. What a turn-up.
I didn't know you were in England.
Well, I've only been here a few hours, sport. I was going to get in touch with you.
Great, well, why don't we go for a few drinks?
I'd love to, but I've got this appointment in Dover. I just can't miss it.
Yeah, OK, give us a bell soon.
Sure.
Hang on, here's my card.
Right.
So we've got a lot to talk about.
Well, sure I have. I'll see you, mate.
Door's locked, sir.
Break in.
Right.
Let's move!
Here, sir!
What have you found, Sergeant?
A big hole in the patio floor and a couple of trussed-up chickens, sir.
Nosher, Ballantyne and Billy O'Neill. Take them away, lads.
Excuse me, sir. Yes, mate?
Is your name Bernard Arthur Robbins?
Who?
Bernard Arthur Robbins.
You from Candy Camera?
No, I'm from the Bill. What you got in that hold all?
Find out.
Oh! Don't worry about the gold coins! Grab him!
Doctor, excuse me, Doctor.
Good morning, Mr. Manson.
Morning. How's Mr. McIver? Pulling through, is he?
I'm really sorry, Mr. Manson. The old chap died at 4 a.m.
Deep down, I was sorry when I heard that Robbo had been captured at the ferry terminal. He'd always been a mate of mine, and though he'd gone crook and latched onto me in his search for the hoard of gold, I still liked him. Well, he hadn't hurt anybody, and he only took a bagful of Krugerrands, around $250,000, so he wasn't being greedy. Well, not really. And when you think of the heroism he'd displayed in making love to that ancient reincarnation of Marilyn Monroe, Tracy Dowling, just to find out about the gold, well, he deserved to get away with something. And even that sad little lady didn't deserve the treatment she got from that vicious gangster Billy O'Neill. As you may well remember, the story was front-page news for a week or more. There were vivid descriptions of the villains and lurid details of the killings which took place as men fought and lied and struggled in search of that gold. But maybe the most sensational item to come out of the whole story was the fact that my stepfather, Jerry Manson, an infamous gangster of the 60s and a leading member of the gang which pulled off the Southwark Bridge robbery, had not died under the bullets of a hitman all those years ago. An unfortunate derelict had died in his place. Jerry Manson survived. With his face scarred, his eyes almost blinded by the knife of a quack cosmetic surgeon. Manson had found escape from the law and from his own kind, living through a quarter of a century as Specs McIver. He had found, in that sad world of down-and-outs, some peculiar kind of peace. Ironically, my stepfather died from the effects of the beating he took from Billy O'Neill, the same gangster who'd been paid to kill him and who botched the job by killing the wrong man over 25 years earlier. So turn the wheels of fate.
In A Craving for Gold, the cast was Eddie Manson, Martin Jarvis, Detective Constable Robbins, Vincent Brimble, Diana Martell and barmaid Jane Whittenshaw, and Tracy Dowling, Penelope Lee. Billy O'Neill was played by Sean Barrett, Nosher, Jeffrey Matthews, Stumpy Miller, Cyril Shapps, Weasel Hales and Grisano, Fraser Carr, Crawford, Danny Schiller, Ritzo, Michael Kilgariff, Specs McIver and Sergeant Bone, John Hollis, Detective Inspector Curtis and Detective Superintendent Rowe, Simon Treves. A Craving for Gold was written by John Naismith and directed by Jerry Jones.